The Morning Struggle podcast is brought to you by Blue Clover Therapy, a mental health counseling practice in Salt Lake City, Utah. Visit www.blueclovertherapy.com for more information. Blue Clover Therapy, because your mental health deserves a specialist.
Activate.
Welcome to the Morning Struggle podcast, where we take habits of successful people and break them down one at a time into history, science, and action plan so you can implement them into your life and build a better you. Stay tuned. Welcome morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Struggle podcast. I'm Ty.
I'm Jesse.
And we bring you habits of successful people. And we're doing the More Than Money segments.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So we're doing these in blocks. So we've got four episodes in a block.
Yeah.
And we take like an area, like our basics, and then money, and then relationships,
yep.
And then pants. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to
definitely
do
need a pants
other
section.
Things, right? But right now we're on the More Than Money.
Yes.
Right? So we're talking about all things money, which is so consuming in what we do.
Yes.
And I did all my notes today on an iPad instead of via paper because I'm technologically savvy.
Did you highlight anything?
Technologically savvy.
Did you highlight anything?
Yeah, I highlighted it in my brain. So my brain is highlighted.
Solid. Yep, that's solid.
And so Jesse gets mad at me every time.
Every time.
I don't write down my notes because I'm all over the place when I don't write down my notes. But you know what? It's a new day. More than money. We're
yeah.
talking about millionaires.
Yes, we are.
We're just talking about how to be a millionaire, who millionaires are, how to find millionaires in the phone book so you can go befriend them. And next thing you know, they're like, hey, you want my McLaren F1? And you're like, I've been talking about the F1.
Oh my gosh, this car.
For two seasons.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's you invite them to your wedding and then they buy you a gift. No, okay. It's becoming a millionaire and what that does psychologically to you.
Oh, so when you become a millionaire, what that money, that abundance of money does to your brain.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not all roses and candy canes.
No.
Is that a saying? Roses and candy?
It is now.
Rainbows and unicorns. It's not all rainbows and unicorns. But you know, to be honest with you, rainbows, beautiful, but don't do anything.
Yeah.
Unicorns, not real. Roses and candy, way better.
Yeah, there's lots of things.
All right, here we go. You ready? I got to hold on. I'm sick. Sorry, everybody.
Whoa.
But I am so dedicated to this podcast that yes, we did take like a 6 month break there where nobody got episodes,
but
I'm so dedicated today when I feel like it, I got up even though I'm not feeling well
yeah.
to do this episode for
yeah.
you. So here we go. We're going to go into history. Mm-hmm. For those of you who haven't ever done this before, joined us.
Welcome.
Welcome. So we take a habit of successful people
yeah.
and we break it down. We do a little history or info segment and then we do the science behind that habit
mm-hmm.
and then we give you an action plan so you can implement that habit.
Well, there's coffee in there too.
And then there's some coffee involved in it as well because you can't get up at 5 a.m. without coffee.
Nope.
It's humanly impossible. So for those of you who don't drink coffee, I don't know how you're doing it.
That you're
you
magical.
Deserve a medal or a cookie or something, whatever it is. So that's what we do here on this show. We're trying to implement these habits to just become more productive and successful and happy. And we hope that you're joining us too. So
yes.
Let us know how it goes. But anyway, so we're going to go into the history, then the science, then the action plan.
This day in history.
All right. I thought that traditional millionaires are boring. You put money in a Roth IRA or 401k, and then in 25, 35 years, you got millions of dollars. And then what do? You go to Chuck-O-Rama and you get the extra big plate. Do they have the extra big plates at Chuck-O-Rama?
Do they still have Chuck-O-Rama?
Yeah, of course they have Chuck-O-Rama. It's the best restaurant in the world. Maybe Golden Corral.
Take me to Chuck-O-Rama then. Golden Corral.
I know, but I think they have bigger plates. I think you pay like a little bit and you get like a little salad plate. And you pay a lot and you get a big plate.
Well, but why would it matter? Because you can go back as many times as you want.
Just don't think about it too much. It's a status thing.
Oh.
It's a status thing. But it doesn't have to be that way.
No.
You can. You don't have to just do the traditional thing that is almost guaranteed to work.
Yeah.
Why would you want guaranteed millionaire?
That's ridiculous.
When you can take risk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to talk about some of the oddest items that were sold for big bucks.
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
The first one, this was Art Basel Art Fair in Miami recently. I don't know if recently. I don't know what this was. This is Reader's
last
Digest.
Year.
It was probably last
okay.
year. But you remember this? This is the banana that was duct taped to the wall.
Oh, I do remember
this. It sold for $120,000. And it was called Comedian. It was a folly on art and what art actually is. No, someone's laundering money. There's no way you buy a banana tape duct taped to a wall for $120,000.
You know somebody's kid just put a banana on a wall. And everybody's like, ooh, look what they just did. That's amazing.
Because he's so artistic or whatever it is. Anyway, so.
Wait, was it a real banana?
It was a real banana with real duct tape.
Did it like?
I've got bananas and duct tape upstairs. I mean, I've got like a dozen bananas. I am a millionaire in bananas and duct tape
right now. But you can't keep that art. It's going to go bad at some point.
I know. That's why I think it's money laundering. But anyway, so just know that was just crazy. You could do bananas and duct tape. Anyway, last violin played on the Titanic.
Oh, that would be
so. Wallace Hartley. He was one of the band players that were playing as the ship went down.
Yeah.
Well, they found his body in the ocean a few days later, and the violin was still strapped on his back. Aww. It is a very worn but beautiful violin. Anyway, it sold for $1.7 million in auction.
Whoa. See, now that's a real item.
And that's a real, and that's a collector item. Like, that's part of Americana. Like, I want to collect that.
Well, and he loved that violin.
So if you're swimming in the ocean, you find a violin, I mean, keep it. That could be your millionaire status. J.K. Rowling's chair. You know who J.K. Rowling is?
Yeah, the Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. This is her Harry Potter chair. It even says Harry Potter on the chair.
What?
I know.
Wait, anyway, then that's not the original chair. Did she write it in marker?
She wrote it. It looks like she wrote it. I'm guessing. She loved Harry Potter.
Yeah. It sold loves an auction Harry Potter.
In 2016 for $394,000.
Jeez. Do you sit in it when you buy it? Do you sit in it?
You can sit in if you want. She was given four mismatched dining room chairs in 1995, and this was the comfiest one. So not only do you get the Harry Potter chair, you get the comfiest Harry Potter chair.
Oh, yeah.
John Lennon's toilet. John Lennon from the Beatles.
Yeah.
So apparently he had a toilet. It had some flowers painted on it, and then he had his house remodeled, him and Yoko Ono, and it sold for nearly $15,000.
Wait, so the guys are like taking the potty out because they don't need it.
Right.
And someone
bought it for $15,000. To be part of that. You think kind of buying someone's toilet is disgusting? At least you can like kind of bleach that. Queen Victoria's undies sold for $16,300 in a 2015 auction. I'm kind of upset I didn't know about this because I would have bought it. And they're huge. She was a big lady. She was a big lady.
Why are you buying women's underwear that has previously been worn by royalty?
She's got a 45-inch waist drawstring.
Yeah, girl, get it.
A drawstring waist. That is crazy. And it said VR in it for Victoria Regina, which was her.
How did they get her underwear, first off? Second.
And it was not only that, it was preserved in like with the oxygen deprivation packets in a sealed container.
Oh,
so it wouldn't degrade.
You're kidding me.
Nope. So I thought it was more. All right, you ready?
That's weird.
The next one. A lock of Elvis Presley's hair back in 2002 sold for $115,000.
Jeez.
From a barbershop. And did you know he used dye to dye his sandy blonde hair jet black?
No.
I didn't know that either. I thought he was Elvis like true Presley. Blue American jet black hair. No, he was some surfer guy.
Anyway. You're some surfer guy. How dare you, Elvis Presley?
So that was Elvis Presley. And then I think we got a couple of Marilyn Monroe's white dress. You know, the fancy white dress.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to sell for so much money.
How much do you think?
$1 million.
$4.6 million.
Whoa.
I know. It didn't even have Marilyn Monroe in the dress. And then the last one is my favorite. Justin Timberlake's leftover French toast.
Oh, my hell.
He went on a Z100 morning show and he signed two slices of French toast, and then they auctioned it off for $1,025.
Oh my, how do you sign toast?
Wait, how do you not sign your French toast? Every morning, you've got to sign your French toast.
You got a Sharpie?
I don't know.
That's pretty clever. I think Justin Timberlake really knew what he was doing there.
But it was a teenage girl named Kathy Summers.
How much did she buy it for?
$1,025.
How's this girl getting this money?
Kathy's dad is like, are you kidding me right now?
Did we buy French toast?
Yep. So anyway, that's what I've got for the...
That's incredible.
The history segment.
Yeah.
Just a few little tidbits. Just saying that, hey, if you want to be a millionaire, sometimes you don't need money. Sometimes you just need bananas and duct tape.
Or you need to preserve your underwear.
Or preserve your underwear.
Maybe we should just take some underwear.
Your famous friends. Like, you go in the phone book, you find millionaires, you go to their house, steal their undies, put it in a climate-controlled bin.
No one's going to be your friend if you're still in their underwear.
What? Everybody, that's not a thing.
No, that's exactly the thing.
You're friends with gnomes, aren't you? Gnomes steal undies all the time.
I'm friends with gnomes.
Undies and socks. If a gnome came in the house, you'd be a friend with it.
Absolutely. You'd be friended, right? He'd be terrifying. They're short, and they like steal your stuff, and they have pointy hats.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, we're going to get into the science of what happens to your brain when you get a large sum of money. Right?
Yes. So
how it actually physically affects and changes your brain when all of a sudden you have a large sum of money.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah,
So I have talked about this before, the sudden wealth syndrome, and Stephen Goldbart actually came up with this term, and it was very much thought of if you or were a person that suddenly got a, what was this called, a windfall of money.
A windfall of money. You won the lottery, you have a rich uncle you never knew about who died, things like that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you get a bunch of money.
Yeah. Suddenly you have a bunch of money and your life is different. Well, we thought it was from just a windfall, but it can actually be from becoming a millionaire, even if you've worked really hard at it.
Wait. So I've been working since I'm 18 years old. I save my pennies, I pinch them, I go to retirement, and now I'm a millionaire. And I still may be unhappy with and be crazy in my brain because of all this money?
Well, we're not talking crazy in the brain, but there's stress, guilt, social isolation, and confusion that goes along with
that. That sounds crazy.
But yes, you can, okay. And they've researched it. So what's really interesting is when we hit this mark, let's say the millionaire mark, first we get happy. I mean, duh.
Sure.
Right? You right. get dopamine, serotonin, everything's rushing through your body. Everything seems like it's going to go great in that... It will never go away.
Okay.
Okay. So it takes us 2 months to get used to that. And then it does. It levels out.
So we only get 2 months of high from winning the lottery?
Winning the lottery, hitting a millionaire mark, even getting a pay raise at work.
Ugh.
Yeah. Two months. That's as long as you're going to be satisfied.
Okay.
And then suddenly we start getting this cortisol. And cortisol is the stress hormone.
Right.
We start getting more of that because it's really interesting because we feel like we start getting, are we an imposter? It seems like it's more about the contrast between your two lives.
So you go from maybe working hard, saving, not having money, being more on the
frugal.
I want frugal and I want spectrum.
Yes.
To more I'm affluent and I have spectrum, and you kind of don't know how to make that transition.
Exactly. Okay. And this happens in retirement as well.
Okay.
You've been working your whole life at the Postal Service.
Okay.
And a hard job. It's been a lot of work.
And that band is always breaking up. They're always getting new lead singers.
They are not. They are still together.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah. In their hearts.
Okay.
They're still together in their hearts. The Postal Service. You know what I'm talking about. The mail carriers.
Yeah. You work as a police officer or a post carrier.
Yeah.
Or an office clerk or whatever it is.
It's hard work.
Right.
You work multiple times in a week. There's times you don't get to see your family, that kind of stuff. You're working so hard. And then suddenly you retire and you can have all of those things. You can use your money and all of that. We actually have a really hard time transitioning to that. And this is when the depression and the anxiety set in.
So we finally have everything we've ever wanted and we're depressed.
Exactly.
And it's like not because we're selfish. It's actually a physical phenomenon going on in our body and brain.
Yeah. The hormones in your body actually change. You reduce your dopamine and your serotonin, sometimes even dopamine and serotonin ability. Like your body actually produces less of it.
Oh.
That cortisol goes up and we kind of get lost.
Okay.
So, first off, it tends to be poor preparation on our part. So we're not sure what to do at that point. And we've talked about this, like with retirement or those kind of things. You think that you're going to love it and you're going to have all this time and oh my gosh, we're going to do so many things. But nothing is really solidified other than we tend to look at money marks, right?
Well, because it's quantifiable.
Yes.
We can see the number.
But I don't know if I'm going to want to ride horses when I retire, right?
Right.
But maybe I will. Maybe that's the thing. But there's low preparation with what we're actually going to do with retirement.
So what the money is going to do for us, what we're going to do with the money to enrich our lives. We don't think about that.
Yeah.
We just think about like the escapism and the dollar sign.
Exactly. Okay. And the time. We have this glorified version of time. Time's actually can be very lonely as well.
So if we think about that.
Yeah, if we don't prep well enough, then we have all this time. We don't know what we're doing and we feel very lost. Hence the anxiety and the depression.
Okay,
so Mr. Stephen Goldbart, came up with the stages of kind of how we go through this money acceptance, I guess is
sure.
what it would be.
Okay,
so we go into wealth acceptance, which is we are powerful, we are invincible. This is the dopamine and serotonin time. We feel less vulnerable in our society. And you got to think, money gives us power in many ways. And so we have a hard time setting limits with that because we don't know. There's a lot of, we're trying to buy things and we're trying to satisfy a lot.
We're making it rain everywhere we go.
Making it rain.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So it becomes, I have wealth, I'm going to spend this wealth. Then suddenly we hit this halt of identity consolidation.
Identity consolidation. Uh-huh. Okay.
And what we're doing here is we're trying to figure out if money, our money defines us or if we define ourselves.
Oh, so if the money defines us or we define our money.
Ooh, that's a better way to put that.
Okay.
But it's creating an identity within that. And all through our life stages, we're trying to figure out an identity for ourselves. But suddenly we have all this money. We can buy a lot more things, or we have more time because we don't have to work, right? And we don't have an identity anymore.
Right. If you're a post carrier for 35 years and all of a sudden you don't do that anymore, you may have been dreaming about sitting on a beach, but your identity is a postman.
Exactly.
So who are you now?
Yeah, so we get really lost. And again, that's anxiety, depression kind of time frame. But then we start moving into stewardship, which is, what is our money going to do for us? And we create plans for our money.
We start spending.
No, actually.
What? We just plan to spend it?
No, because we've already spent a bunch of it frivolously.
Oh,
we bought a bunch of stuff and we haven't been paying attention.
This is, you wake up the morning after and you're like, man, that McLaren F1 was a bad choice. It only has one center seat. It's only got one center seat. I can't even take someone with me unless they sit behind me.
You don't need anybody when you retire.
It's like a jet, like a fighter jet.
Yeah, it is.
Keep going.
Wait, do you have a, you have a co-pilot?
I don't know if there's even a second seat in the F1. It's a middle, you drive in the middle of the car.
It's
like a Formula One car.
There's no seatbelt for me.
Every average man can buy a McLaren F1. It's like $17 million now.
Oh. Everybody can get one of those.
We got way on a tangent. Nobody cares about my cars. Keep going with the money brains.
That's amazing. So, but we're trying to figure out how the money's going to work for us. So this is where you actually start spending a little less and you get more mindful with your purchases.
Okay. So you come back down to reality.
Yeah. And this is where we set up trusts and we go towards education and things like that. And it's a much more satisfying, balanced stage. We have less anxiety, depression in this stage. But we still get kind of the highs, but they tend to be more about helping other people or having experiences with other people.
Right. We become charitable and we can become fulfilled.
Yes. So the things that I want you to be mindful of while chasing this money, and this will move into our action plan as well. First, time is more valuable than money always.
Always.
Always, always. And so what's really interesting is that life satisfaction comes from social connections and life experiences, aka time.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay, and this really cool study came out job satisfaction, or what they call the journey to your money millionaire moment, right? That people who value time work the same number of hours overall as people who value money mostly.
Okay.
So if you took a year span, people who are valuing their time, so maybe they're taking more vacations or they're shortening their days or that kind of thing, actually spend the same amount of time at work as people who are valuing their money.
Their productivity is the same?
Not the productivity, the time they spend at work.
Oh, okay.
So if I'm 40 hours a week.
Right.
Okay, but maybe some weeks I take 30. Some days I work 45. And it kind of varies. Let's say someone's really money driven and they're 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week, whatever, and they are stressing out.
They spend about the same amount of time at work. They're stressed.
Yeah, because they're stressed because they take more sick days. They more have more things going on. They take vacations that don't feel like vacations, that kind of stuff.
Makes sense.
So what's interesting, I guess it's always interesting, is that often they make more income as well. The people who value the time make more money than the people who value the money.
So if you value your time and your life satisfaction, you're usually at work the same amount as the workaholic, and you make more money than the workaholic.
Yes.
It's like the guy who goes to the gym and he does like 6 bicep curls and he's huge and ripped. And you're like, I've been here for 4 hours running on this treadmill and doing all this stuff. What is going on?
Yes.
And he's like, I just value my time.
Yeah, that's right. And then he high-fives you and you cripple to the floor because he's got giant muscles.
And then you follow him home and steal his undies.
Oh my gosh.
This just got way PG-13.
This is weird.
Yeah, I know.
But, so people who value their time tend to have careers that they love. They are less stressed. They are more productive. They get to be creative, which humans need that.
Right.
And then they're less likely to quit. So every time you quit, you actually deteriorate your track of becoming a millionaire or hitting certain financial marks because you have to start over. Even if you're not really starting over at a job, I'm doing air quotes right now.
Right.
There's still kind of a lap time of figuring out a new job.
Sure.
And so you're less likely to do that. People who value their time pursue careers that they love.
Crazy.
Isn't that wild?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they scienced it up, the what really happens in our brain.
Well, it's interesting that you actually have a hormone reaction within your body, and that because we do value money in this society. So right. to have your body physically change based on your income level is not income level, but hitting certain marks or having the amount of money to spend, I think it's pretty interesting for sure.
I think so too. And I think it's interesting that it's an actual chemical, biological reaction in your body with all these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, oh, I'm feeling sad. Like, I'll just get out of it. It's like, no, something is happening in your body. It'd be the same as injecting a hormone into your body.
Yeah.
You can't be like, well, that's not going to do anything to me. Of course it's going to do stuff to you.
So many things.
So many things. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Okay. Well, is that all we have for science?
That's all we got for science.
Should we get into some coffee?
Absolutely.
And then we'll action plan this up so we can be big money ballers.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
I was jamming there. Did you see?
You were jamming.
Yeah.
This is from one of the most scientific online journals publications.
What is it? It's Cambridge?
Called Eat This, Not That! Exclamation point.
Whoa.
Yep. It's a pretty legit. It's well renowned. and we're going to talk about some famous people and what they order at Starbucks.
Oh, that's
rich
lovely.
People. We're going to do rich people.
Rich people.
Rich people. You ready? First one, Kim Kardashian. She always gets a white chocolate mocha or soy chai tea latte.
Yeah.
Extra small. And extra hot.
What? Extra small?
Well, I don't know if it's extra hot, but extra small. She just gets a small one, or it doesn't taste the same. Kylie Jenner. The first few of these are all the Kardashian people, which
people
I know they're super famous.
People care about what they drink.
I know. Yeah. So Kylie Jenner, she drinks caramel frappuccino or passion tea lemonade.
Whoa.
She's a lemonade gal.
Yeah.
So Khloe Kardashian.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know the difference between
all these
people.
I have no idea.
One of them is a genuine billionaire from all her makeup products, right?
I think that's Kim.
No, Kim is like a celebrity, like just on her name. I think it's Khloe. Is the
actual billionaire?
Yep, but she drinks very strong chai tea lattes.
How do you make it very strong?
I don't know. I think she means very sugary chai tea lattes, because a chai tea latte doesn't have any coffee in it.
It does not.
So it's just got chai tea syup. So she does seven pumps. Yep.
That makes your teeth fall out. But I guess if you have $1 billion, you can buy new teeth.
I guess you can do whatever you want when you have $1 billion. Next one, speaking of billionaire, Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, Oprah.
Teavana cinnamon chai lattes.
What is this? Where's the black coffee?
I was going to say the same thing. So we're doing it wrong.
What are we doing?
There's no black coffee. There's not even coffee and cream.
Chai tea lattes and soy venti. You do a splash now of cream, which is abandoning the black coffee club.
So for those of you who haven't done this, like the heavy, heavy whipping cream, just a splash of it in your coffee. It's like having Haagen-Dazs ice cream in the morning. Once you start, you can't stop. So unless you always want to have heavy cream in your coffee, don't do it.
Just
don't do it. It's too good.
It's too good for me.
But apparently I got to change it up, because next one, Ariana Grande, the famous singer, soy cloud macchiato. Everything's soy and chai.
What makes it a cloud?
I don't know. It's fluffy. It's light and fluffy.
Oh, I like it.
Lady Gaga, Machado lemonade.
Ooh.
So there's a lot of lemonades, a lot of chais. Britney Spears, Passion Tango tea.
Really?
These aren't even freaking coffees.
This isn't coffee. This is,
I know.
What is Starbucks
doing? Katy Perry, tall soy vanilla latte. We'll give her a pass on that one.
That's a latte.
And we'll end it with the big one.
Oh.
Taylor Swift, iced caramel latte or iced Americano with sweet and low, because she lives dangerously, because sweet and low gives you cancer in California. She lives in California. Woo! I just pegged the levels.
Sweet and low.
So that's what the famous people are ordering from Starbucks.
Oh.
And they go to Starbucks too. They don't go to some fancy place.
Oh, no, everybody goes to Starbucks. It's like everybody goes to Walmart too.
Yep.
Don't pretend.
Don't pretend like you're not.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what the famous people are drinking. So if you want to go in and be like, oh yes, my makeup line is just taking off in Thailand, don't go in there and order black coffee,
because that
barista is going to be like, no, it's not, you liar. But if you're like, oh, give me a soy chai vanilla iced lemonade.
Cloud
freeze. And they're like, yep, this one's big time. We're going to follow this one home. So anyway, that's my, That's my little coffee segment.
That was great.
It was not very informative, I hope. I
mean, Taylor Swift, though, that's amazing. She does live dangerously. I like it.
So anyway, that's all I got for coffee segment. Let's go on back to millionaire, billionaire status. Are we going to learn how to become millionaires?
No.
We're going to learn how to transition to millionaire status.
Yes.
So this is clickbait. You're clickbaiting us.
No, but here's the thing. You're right, though. Roth, I don't know any of the words. What's the word? Roth IRA? And then 401k?
Uh-huh.
Those are lots of words. Anyway, if you do that, you can actually, in your lifetime, hit a millionaire mark.
We are not financial advisors. We do not give financial advice. But if it were me, I would just do my company 401k and a Roth IRA, mm-hmm. and I'd max them out as fast as I can. And I'd do that when I was 20 years old, because compound interest takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
So just start when you're super young,
yeah.
and you'll be multimillionaire. It's easy. It's super easy. Just do a total stock market fund or a target solution or target retirement fund, and you're done.
But let's say that you didn't do that. Let's say that you didn't, and suddenly you win the lottery. I'm going to tell you how to psychologically make it the most effective.
I'm going for the lottery because I can't go back in time. So we're just going to say lottery. Okay, here we go. Action plan.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
So I was listening to some of our old episodes.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much I say be aware at the beginning of any action plan.
Yeah, you do a self-assessment or be aware every single time. But you know what? That's kind of like, hey, wake up, get out of bed. It's hard to take a shower when you're still in bed. You have to do step one.
Yeah. So you need to be aware.
You need to be aware.
You need to be aware of your financial standing and how close you are to not even, let's say you're not going to be a millionaire. Let's say you're not doing that. But let's say you're going to retire.
A 100,000-aire.
Yeah.
Let's say you're going to be a 10,000-aire.
Yeah.
Whatever that number is for you.
Whatever that is, and then how your life is going to change once you have that, or when you retire, or those kind of things. I want you to pay attention to that, because it's the contrast between your two lives that really seems to be the big, heavy impact on you.
It's less about like the number of monies you have,
yeah,
the actual dollar amount, and more of the big transition of life status.
Yes.
Okay.
As you're moving through stages, it's always hard, but this one in particular is a difficult one.
It's usually abrupt.
Yes. It's an abrupt shift.
Okay.
So first, don't spend your money right away.
Don't spend your money right away.
Yeah. So even if we're going to buy a house in Italy, I don't know.
Ugh. They are giving away free houses in Italy. It's so bad in Italy. They've been giving away free houses.
Anyway, so you're going to get a house in Italy.
Okay.
And you've planned that and everything like that. Take a little bit of time. Have some gap time before you move forward on your plan to make sure that that's the plan that you want to do. And whoever's going to be in this stage with you also agrees with it.
Okay. And what's our gap time? 30, 45 minutes?
I say, no.
Me?
The click from the internet.
Yeah. You can buy a house on the internet in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Seriously. No. Do you wait like a certain amount of time, or just enough where it's not an impulse? Buy.
It's enough that it's not an impulse buy. So I would say wait more on a house than I would a
pair of shoes
or a latte. We want to have just enough time and make sure that that's what we want to do, because life is going to change drastically once we have it, and you won't have that money back.
Okay.
You might be able to sell a house or whatever, but like it's going to tie up money, right? So we want to make sure we're not spending it right away. We want to move into stewardship. So know that no matter how hard and quick and mindful, we'll say, that you have gotten your money and you're walking through the money process, you're still going to go through the stages of wealth acceptance and the identity consolidation.
Okay.
So you're still going to have those two, but we want to move into stewardship, where we're paying attention to what our money is going to do for us.
So we're going to feel a little lost, regardless of how well we're prepared.
Yes.
Okay. So you're taking the ice bath. You're jumping in the frozen lake. It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
But it's a little different if they throw you in when you're sleeping than if you're like all prepared and you do your Wim Hof breathing.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Right. Yeah. And so you're going to have to pay attention to that. You're going to get a little depressed and anxious.
It's going
to
happen.
It's going to happen. Just embrace it and know that you're moving into the stewardship, where your money is doing things for you.
Okay.
Okay. And then last, because all of this, you're going to move through the stages, you're going to have social bonds, all of that. I want you to really pay attention that time, relationship, and experiences are the most valuable and fulfilling element of happiness in life.
Okay.
So it's not actually not your money, but if your money can help out your relationships, they can buy you experiences, and they can make it where you have time to have those things, that's really where the value is.
So money's not a bad thing. It's just a tool to get you something that you may not even need money for.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, great. What have I been doing working so hard all these years?
Well, you had to move through the stages.
I'm a slow learner too. So, okay. So just those three things.
Yes.
You do a self-assessment, right? And then the next one is know that it's going to happen. You're going to go through the stages of, not grief, of money acceptance.
So, yeah. What's it called? What does he call this? Wealth acceptance.
So you're going to go through the stages of wealth acceptance. Yeah. And then just realize that time and relationships and charity and life fulfillment, money can enhance that or drive that, but money isn't the actual answer.
Right. Yeah.
It sounds so woohoo. It does. It sounds.
It doesn't sound.
Everybody
woo-woo.
Strives for the money. Where are the Lamborghinis? Where are the big beach mansions? All that stuff.
You can get all that if you like.
But I know. But if you're in there, I get it. Like if
you're
in there
by yourself, it doesn't matter.
You're a bunch of people who are just chasing your money. You're going to be super sad. And that's why there's super sad billionaires out there. Right?
Did she just like throw your caution to the wind?
You're so sad, Mr. I've got millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But it actually does happen.
Absolutely.
And it actually is a chemical reaction in the brain.
Yeah.
So you got to realize what your money does for you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the average person, we're not financial advisors, but the average person, just do your retirement plans.
Yeah.
And just try to live below your means. Put your money away first.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like we're talking about millionaires and we're talking about that particular mark because that seems to be people's retirement marks and things. But it doesn't have to be $1 million. Like you said, like it could be 200,000 or something that's what you're going to retire on. And I think that's lovely.
It could be Social Security.
It could just be
enough income to get you to do the things that enhance and fulfill your life.
Right. But
which
knowing
is time, relationships, charity.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Although and that you will have this shift over. No matter what the financial piece is for you.
So get prepared. It's going to be a polar bear plunge.
It is. Exactly.
So sorry for the clickbait. I know everybody's in there saying like, well, they didn't tell me how to be a millionaire. I want to be a millionaire.
There's all kinds of financial podcasts. Yeah, look through them. Ty subscribes to all of them and it is numbing.
Yeah. Just know money for us normal people is super slow. Unless you want to be like a professional athlete or people really like watching you play video games on YouTube, just know it's going to take you a long time.
Maybe that's what I should do.
So,
play video games on the internet.
Yeah, you've never played a video game in your life.
I've played it when I was in middle school, I think. Exactly. But it was like when the two bars would go back and forth.
You were not a Pong. You were old. You were younger.
I did play Mario Bros. Did you play?
Yeah, we played. I played at the original Nintendo.
Yeah.
That was my first gaming console.
But past that, there's all kinds of consoles and stuff.
Oh my God, it's too real now. I would have nightmares if I played video games. I would just not know where reality. So I would have wealth acceptance issues all the time because I'd be like, well, I'm a Navy SEAL and I'm attacking. You know, I'm trying to save these people, and then I'd wake up and be like, oh. I don't do any of those things. In fact, I haven't put on pants in 3 days.
Yeah, it's like, what is happening?
So I get it.
People could watch me, though, just to laugh at my interactions on the video games.
Yeah. We're wasting people's time right now. We're just sitting here
chatting away. I think
this is great.
This is great radio.
We're chatting away. And everybody out there, go and do the habits. Listen to the previous shows. We try not to repeat ourselves too much on the episodes so we can give you new content. But go out there and listen to shows. We also, you can go to, we have like books, right? We're going to do pitches. Should we do some pitches? We don't tell anybody about this stuff.
Yeah, if you want to pitch things.
All right, so you can go on to Amazon and just type in Jessie Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got her What Mental Health Disorder books.
Yeah.
So you can look at those books if you want. There's some free ebook ones on there too.
Yes.
So just get the free ones first and see
download it. And I use the paper copies in actual therapy to explain, but you can use, I know that people who like technology can just use the downloadable, most of the ebooks are free.
Yeah.
And so you can download it and still use it as a tool.
And if you can't find it for free, just email Jessie
and we'll give
it to you for free
because
we don't really care about that. But it's like Millie the Cat has borderline personality disorder and Finny the Fox has PTSD and those kind of things.
And explains the disorder itself.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want them free, just hopefully you can find them free on the internet. If not, let us know. We'll give them to you for free.
Yes.
And then BlueCloverTherapy.com.
Yes.
Has links to the podcast and all the books and all that cool stuff like that too.
Yep. Blogs and things too.
Yep. So anyway, that's all I got for pitching.
Yeah, that's great.
Sorry if it was pitchy. Hopefully you turned me off by now and you've gone to your financial podcast where we're like, make millions of dollars. And they have sirens and stuff. We don't have sirens.
Well, no, we don't have
We're way over. We're way over budget. So go out there, do your habits, and
build a better you.
All right. Thanks, guys.